Welcome to New York Zen Center for Contemplative Care's podcast. This free podcast is made possible through your generosity. Please consider making a donation through our Ways to Give link on zencare.org.
So, good morning.
Morning.
It's such a beautiful morning. To me, a morning where we can celebrate the death of Doan's son. Celebrating meaning to come together to appreciate that this great loss has happened. And we can do that for each other. To remember that actually it matters to show up for each other. And that there can be a community of people who can say, yes, this happened, and I can be present. It's extraordinary. Thinking about Aaron, and you know, I've only met him once, but just the fact that he planted a lot of trees, apple trees in particular. 39 years old and planting orchards. How many of us do that? Plant things that may not mature in our lifetime. To me, it's one of the great humbling parts of our practice to realize that we might be doing things and it might not even be for us. It might be for a deer or a raccoon. And I know for myself, I find myself often getting so self-absorbed into my struggle and my this and what am I doing and what am I getting for what I'm doing. And Aaron's teaching of planting trees to me reminds me of, right. If I could just get the fuck out of my way and realize that this is not all about me. The third Zen ancestor, Senkan, said, to come directly into harmony with this reality, as it is. Just simply say when doubt arises, not to. In this not to, nothing is separate. Nothing is excluded. Birth or death is not excluded. A story about this guy from the transmission of the lamp comes from a encounter that he had with the second Zen ancestor, Huayi. Senkan said to his teacher, he said, I am riddled with sorrow and suffering. Please do something to absolve my suffering, absolve my sorrow. His teacher said, okay, just bring it to me and I will give you a balm for it. Senkan had a long pause and said, I've looked everywhere for my suffering. I can't find it. Wakey smiled and said, "Ah, wonderful. See, I've absolved and so given you a balm for your suffering. All you need to do is live with Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha." All you need to do is live by Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. Your own awakened mind. Realize that we can learn something from everything. And take refuge in community. And to me, this is what we're doing this morning. Showing up. Being receptive to what's happening and taking refuge in community, being together quietly. It's incredible, of all the things to do on a Sunday, that this group of people decided to show up. So rare. And to me, that's always why these are called jewels, the three jewels. They're jewels because they're precious and valuable and not common. And how do we take care of those things? How do we take care of vitality? How do we remember that we are also doing? We have all lost a son. Not two. Not separate. The precept that we're looking at this month here is about not misusing sex or not being greedy. And Dogen talks about it saying, the three wheels, the body, mouth, and consciousness, are pure and clean. Nothing is desired. Go the same way with the Buddhas. Stay connected. Go in the awakened way. And Bodhidharma says that self-nature is inconceivably wondrous. In the realm of the ungilded Dharma, not giving rise to clinging is called the precept of refraining from impure sexuality. Here at our center, we think of this precept, remembering that there is no scarcity of love and friendship in the world. There's no scarcity. And what happens when we remember that there's no scarcity of love and friendship? How does that change us? How does that change how we look at each other? In the ground of being, everything is fully manifesting itself. There's no separation between self, other, and things. Therefore, there's nothing to acquire, to grasp, or desire. easy to say. But in our howls of loss, the depth of our despair is also included. How do we realize that there's no scarcity of love and friendship in the midst of our despair? How do we, in the depth of our despair, realize that everything is manifesting itself perfectly? When we don't want to feel the way we're feeling. So painful. I love this path and this practice because it doesn't promise that there won't be any pain. There will be pain. But we can show up. To me, what it talks about is our attitude towards our own pain and the pain in the world. How to show up for each other. How to make ourselves vulnerable in the midst of it. And how to fully participate. And in this way, I think that we practice not acquiring. Stop being so transactional about what we think we're supposed to get. When my grandmother died, I was inconsolable. I could scarcely walk down the sidewalk and go to the store for months. And it was perfect. I loved her so much. I never had loved in that way before. The depth of my sorrow was so clearly matching the depth of my love. And so many people used to say, well, aren't you over it? It's been a month. I still miss her so much. It's been almost 14 years. And not a day goes by where I don't feel a little sadness about it. Or a great sadness. It's so strange that we think that that's not part of living. That's something to get over. Marie de Henzel said, life has taught me three things. The first is I cannot escape my own death and the death of the people that I love the most. Can't escape it. The second is that no human being can be reduced to what we see or think we see. any person is infinitely larger and deeper than our own narrow judgments can discern. The third, they can never be considered to have uttered the final word on anything, including you. Life is always developing, always in process. And has the capacity for transformation through all our crises and trials. Easy to say. But to me, how do we keep returning to realizing that everything has something to teach us? To me, this is what we learn doing Zazen, about returning again and again to just this breath, this moment, and getting off the wheel again and 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 again for at least a lifetime. Then who knows? Ryokan, the wonderful Zen monk and poet, lover of children and play, the man who thought many people thought he was just a complete fool. And he said, yes, I am. He says, where beauty is, then there is ugliness. Where right is, well, also there is wrong. Knowledge and ignorance are interdependent. Delusion and enlightenment condition each other. Since olden times, it has been so. How could it be otherwise right now? Wanting to get rid of one and grab another is merely realizing a scene of tremendous stupidity. I love that. Wanting to get rid of one and grab another is merely realizing a scene of tremendous stupidity. You know what that makes us all? Tremendously stupid. The great uniter of beings are tremendous stupid. So free. Even if you speak of the wonder of it all, how do you deal with each thing changing? To me, this is our practice. This wonderful monk, hundreds of years ago, inking this for us. Even if you speak of the wonder of it all, how do you deal with this thing changing? To me, this is our practice. Why it matters to show up for each other and not to make your practice about yourself. Solid? So, I look forward to practicing.
New York Zen Center for Contemplative Care is currently offering our Commit to Sit program, a 90-day self-commitment to sit and practice every day. This program is generously sponsored by Gayam. See zencare.org for details.